Let's pray. Lord, again, we come together as men, wanting to just sit before you. And Lord, we sing that song, Word of God Speak, but may it be the prayer of our hearts when we sing it and think about it, Lord. We need to be in that quiet place. We want to hear your still small voice, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that the work of your Spirit would touch each of us this morning. As you've spoken to my heart, as you continue to speak to my heart, that they wouldn't be hearing from me per se, Lord, but that Spirit would come alive in them to speak to them individually and as your church, Lord. I want you would hear us to say what we hear, Lord, and be able to see all these wonderful things you've given us, Lord. And we're going to concentrate on that hearing part today. I pray that you impart it to us, Lord, to our hearts and minds, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So that's what I titled it today is, How's Your Hearing? There's always a lot about hearing. I mean, you see the commercials and stuff and for hearing aids and so forth, but God has given us something very special. He's also given us eyes to see. And I think there's a combination of that. I was going to say that we can hear with our eyes, we can see with our ears. And I was going through the exhaustive concordance, and I thought it was interesting, a couple of things. There's pages of just on the word hear. And I was just looking at the different types that are there. You got hear, heard, heardest, hear, hearers, hearest, heareth, hearing, hearken, hearkened, hearkenest, and hearkeneth. All have to do with our hearing, right? There was a lot in there. And I'm actually had the intent to try to be brief today, because I want this to be an enjoyable time for everybody, myself. I don't want it to be agonizing. And when I speak, I don't know how some of this may come out, so I'm not really pointing fingers at you guys, because really what this is about is what the Lord has showed me. And still working on it. I haven't saved over 35 years, 37, 38, 39, I don't know. Long time anyway. And I would look at myself sometimes and think that I should know the Word of God inside out by now. And I don't. You know, I kind of hammer on myself for not probably getting into studying it per se, maybe the way the Lord shows me now. But all of that aside, what's really important is that we hear the Spirit of God speak to us. For those of you that have been coming to the studies, particularly on Sundays, Pastor Dan's going through Revelation, and we see him in the churches right now. He still has the one church, Laodicea, left to go. And I'm going to probably end there today, but it just says, you know, for those that would have ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit's saying to the churches. And before he even started teaching it, this was something the Lord had put on my heart months back. And because I know there's opportunities come up, such as this morning, that allows me to stand before whoever would come and share what the Lord has shown me and about any particular subject. And it's always kind of tickled my heart about having ears to hear and what the Spirit would say to the church. I actually pray it kind of often when I pray here, Sunday mornings and so forth, because I think it's an important part when we come together congregationally that we're here to hear. We're here to hear. And I don't know if you guys ever put this together, but one of the things I saw and what comes up right after all these words in the concordance is the word heart. And you look at the word heart, and it actually spells hear with a T on the end of it. So you got that T at the end of hear it. You know, it's, we say heart, but it's like hurt in a sense, you know, hear it or something. So I thought that was interesting because now it shows me that not only do we hear with our ears, but it's what we take in with our eyes that seems to correlate with our hearing a lot of times. And it's like even this morning, whether you see the Spirit, you don't see me, you see the Spirit, you know, per se, you know, in that sense on how you're hearing it. And your heart, listen with your heart. You know, your heart is another ear. So did you know you had three ears? Your heart's your other ear. And it's important that what you hear the Spirit saying hits you here. Because our minds are, they're like this mechanical machine. I ran screw machines most of the majority of my life. And so I have this mechanical sense of the gears driving, and I feel that way about my brain. And I look at different things that way. Even the music I listened to, there was a certain drive to the music that would correlate to the machine that I ran, the beat and the chop and the bop and all that other stuff. So I tended to go into an industrial type music because it was called industrial, I guess, but not a real good genre, I suppose. It was a time I really enjoyed it. But the idea of hearing started a long time ago, and when our hearing got us into trouble. And we go back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. We see right there in the words in that verse, hath God said. I think every single thing that we deal with in life, us today, throughout the Bible, we see it for sure. But individually, everything that we contemplate to do, say, choose, goes with hath God said. There was a saying a while ago, what would Jesus do? I interpret that, hath God said. You know, they go together, a combination of that. Because we look at things, sometimes I guess superficially, maybe worldly. Wasn't going to go there just yet, but I was thinking about the passage where it talks about the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and pride of life. And that's where our fall comes in. And what are we listening to? What are we choosing to listen to? What did Eve choose to listen to? I mean, Adam and Eve, they were perfect, created to live forever. You know, no sin. They could look upon each other and had no concept of any other thought than God is good, really. And they had what was known as pure love, an agape love. But the enemy tripped them up. You might say subtly, I suppose, because that question comes into mind, hath God said, what do we listen to? You know, there's another saying, selective hearing. For those of us who are married, we may really understand that very well, but it's something that can affect us. I say that humorously. Because I know she's probably going to listen to this later. but it really has to do with our relationships, one with another even, you know. Friends, family, coworkers. Selective hearing, you know, there's the funny thing. I don't know if it started with kids or whatever, but it's like, la, 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 you know. It's like, I'm not listening. I don't want to hear what you're saying. And sadly, I think we do that sometimes when the Lord is touching our heart with something he wants to deliver us from, heal us from, draw us closer to him. And whatever it is, that's when you're very aware of the battle of the flesh and the spirit. Because it's in there. And do you override it? Do you heed it? I suppose what I'm hoping you guys get out of this today is that it's going to do something for you to improve your listening to what the Lord has to say. That it's going to affect you out there. It certainly will affect you here. I know that just from my own personal experience, who I am, I mean, honestly, when I'm here, I love being filled with the Spirit. I love being able to share in the Spirit. I love to pray. But it doesn't always happen at home. It doesn't always happen after I walk out the door. I mean, things can happen where all of a sudden, boom, you know, you're taken out of the Spirit And I don't know that I actually do this, but I'm sure that I have. It's like cursing another driver or something, you know. And just in your heart, whatever the thought, I can be honest with you, there's some times I wish I had machine guns on the front of my car, you know, or something, you know. It's a crazy thought, but, you know, I don't know how serious that thought was, but I have thought that, you know. But forgive me, Lord. So I just thought it was interesting because we see this so many times in Revelation there about hearing, you know, and he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And it's interesting that Jesus shares that in the gospel several times. And so what we can take away from that is if Jesus is saying it so many times, it must be important to him that we hear what he has to say. And a lot of times he's talking to the to his apostles, you know, in parables and so forth. And, you know, they question, you know, why do you speak in parables and stuff, you know, and he's explaining it to them. But after, at the end of all these, I'm just going to read through the portions that are there in Matthew 11:15. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And then again, Matthew 13:9. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Matthew 13:43. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And that scripture leads into that is, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And that's something we love to hear. Looking forward to that day we'll be with the Lord. And in Mark 4:9, he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Mark 4:23, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Mark 7:16, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And again in Luke 8, sharing about the seed, and another fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, and he that hath an ear to hear, ears to hear, let him hear. And I thought it was important to look at each one of those because he's telling us again in Revelation to each church specifically. And you look at the church age, and there's the example of it there. There's the example of the individual churches. And I think individually, each one of these churches, there's a portion in each one of them that's part of our life every day. The fall and the rise. And I want to end up there about the overcometh because I think that's important how we overcome and what the reward is there. But back in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 29:4, he says, yet the Lord hath not given you a heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear unto this day. So he was speaking to his people, you know. And there it is about the heart to perceive. That's the other ear, you know, to have understanding, you know. Eyes to see, ears to hear. He continually shows us in his word what we need to see, certainly what we need to hear so that we can be doers. I think that's the important part, the culmination of the end of that is to be doers. There's the rebellion side of it in Ezekiel 12:2. Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear and they hear not, for they are a rebellious house. And then again in Zechariah, but they refuse to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear. And that's what I was thinking about earlier. You know, it's like kids, you're trying to teach them something or, you know, they just turn away or, you know, the la, la, la and all that. You know, they refuse to hear. It's rebellion. So if somehow we're hearing something Sunday morning, Saturday morning, Wednesday evening, when you listen on the radio, when you're doing your reading, and you feel yourself pulling away from something the Lord is showing you, and you know he's showing you, and somehow you allow distraction. Because I know the enemy comes in to bring distraction. Certainly when the Lord's telling you something specifically, you know, the phone rings, the door knocks, the kids start screaming. There's just so many different things, you know. Guitar falls off. But We don't want to be in rebellion. We don't want to be harboring iniquity in our heart. You know, the Lord is there for us at any moment. And Psalm 130, verse 2 says, Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. Samuel, 2 Samuel 22, 7. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter his ears. So we pray these things, we read these things, we pray to the Lord, and we cry out to the Lord. We expect him to hear. Is it that simple that he should expect us to hear him? I mean, it should be a two-way street, right? How important it is to us that he hears our prayers, our cries. It's important to him that we hear him. Again, these are the things that the Lord has been speaking to my heart and is continuing to speak to my heart because I falter. One of the things I was going to share and kind of open up on was my life and how hearing has affected me in my life. I'll try to kind of make it more of a nutshell because sometimes I can ramble on. But I think back, I remember from the littlest of my ages and must have had trouble hearing, and not that they had, you know, a physical problem, but it was more probably mental, you know. Nowadays, they may even have labeled me ADHD, I don't know. My daughter likes to throw that in my face sometimes. Sorry, Becky. But, you know, I imagine that probably a lot of us struggled with that from one degree to another. And certainly I would add on to that, that the enemy would play on that as much as he can with us. And because I don't remember being that much different from most of the kids. And but I know I had a wandering mind. I certainly did. I guess I was rebellious in the sense of I didn't like learning a whole lot. I was more interested in what I was going to do after school and all sorts of stuff. But one of the main things I do remember is my dad and admonishing me to pay attention, you know. And whether I was being scolded or he was just trying to share something with me, I suppose, on a good note. I remember more of the scoldings, I guess. But it was always pay attention, you know. And I have a feeling I must have had the blank stare a lot. My wife has a picture of me with a cheese doodle in my hand. And I'm just kind of just like this blank stare. So they kid me about that because it was just, you know, just this blank stare holding the cheese doodle. That was kind of funny, you know. But that would probably really sum up me, you know, and in school and otherwise. So as I've grown older, hopefully that's improved. But I can say since I've been saved, the Lord has improved that in me. You know, I find that I really have to concentrate. I mean, concentrate. You know, when Dan's up there teaching, you know, my eyes are focused on him. Sometimes we listen better, maybe not looking directly at somebody, like when you listen to the radio, but I can tend to wander more like that when I'm paying attention and looking at somebody. And the only time I think I do wander is when he has shared something, or whoever's teaching, and it catches my thoughts. And it should catch our thoughts. But then I start going down the rabbit hole with it, you know, and I 10 minutes has gone by, he's still sharing, and I realize I'm in this rabbit hole and I got to climb out of it, you know, because I got to hear what he's saying. And you can miss some important things sometimes. I mean, it's good to take that in, maybe jot it down so you can contemplate, meditate on it later, see what the Lord would show you in it, you know. And that's another thing I'm just learning about listening, you know. I mean, I think we take it for granted. We got ears, you can hear. Maybe if you need a hearing aid, it helps you to hear, which is good. And but it's something that I think it's important that we need to actually, you know, in that sense, have a focus on. Not that it makes you wander off on that now, but to hear what the Spirit would say, you know. Dan shared something that I wish I had jotted down, like every church that he's been going through. There was a key thing that spoke to my heart. But what I can say is on Wednesday, what he shared was really special about Joash, I think it is. I'm just going to look there for a second. And he was somebody who followed somebody else, Jehoiada, who had the relationship and to hear from God. But when he passed on, Dan was quick to say it several times that Joash did what was right in his own eyes. And it's a favorite passage in the sense of mine at the end of Judges. It's the very last verse, chapter 25, about the people did which was right in their own eyes. What do you think is going on in the world today? People are doing what is right in their own eyes. God always wanted it to be a theocracy where He is the king. The people wanted a king. We're still kind of in that in all the different nations and stuff to have a leader. To some degree, that's good. Try to keep some kind of order. But ultimately, the Lord would still have it be a theocracy where God is king over all the nations. And one day that'll be. We look forward to that. But we see every day doing what's right in our own eyes. Be careful of that. Because I think that's where we're all tripped up on what we're hearing and what we're doing. And again, be convicted in your heart, but not because I'm saying it, but because the Spirit's showing you something. Because I'm severely convicted of that. You know, it's hard to walk in the light 100% of the time. And that's why we all need Jesus, because that's really what it's all about, you know. Another thing Dan shared a lot, the last portion of his teaching Wednesday night, he hit on prayer, he hit on prayer, he hit on prayer, he hit on prayer. Everything was about prayer and how important it is. And I just wanted to read you something. This is good. To me, it's very good. I hope it touches your hearts. To think God's thoughts requires much prayer. If you do not pray much, you are not thinking God's thoughts. If you do not read your Bible much and often and reverently, you are not thinking God's thoughts. Those words, that paragraph, to me says it all. I'd read this and then Dan shared on it Wednesday night about how important prayer is. How important is prayer? How are we going to hear from God? How are we going to use these things if we're not seeking the Lord to hear what He has to say to us, to live our lives? That it really does make an example to the lost and dying world. I chuckle because it seems so plain and simple. And yet we can struggle with it so much. Another area that tickled my heart was 1 Samuel and how Samuel came about. We see Hannah barren from children and Elkanah's other wife bearing children, and she so much wanted to bear a child. It was really burdening her. And I suppose there's been a lot of interpretation sharing from pastors over the years on this. But one thing that opened my heart to what I was seeing is that God wanted to get Hannah to a certain place. And when in her heart she came to that place to be able to pray to God about having a son, that she would dedicate him to the Lord. And what was that to happen to Hannah? She was broken. She got to be a contrite heart. To be able to give them to the Lord. So I just see it as Hannah got to the place the Lord would have her to be, to cry out to Him for the right reasons, for the right results, because God knew What does the Bible say? Before time began. He wanted to use Samuel, and what did he use Samuel for? He used Samuel to minister to the first king, Saul, which Saul did what was right in his own eyes, which ultimately brought death to him. He had opportunity to repent. He used Samuel to pick the one good king that Israel had, David. Was David perfect? Not by any means, really. Struggled with all the same things we do. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. And what really closes the lid on the coffin on that is the pride of life. Because we see things, we can lust, covet off over things. It's when we follow through on any of that that really that it's the fall, the pride of life. We make the decision, well, God, we're going to do this anyways because it's my choice to do it. And not a good place to be, especially if you plan on entering into prayer . I don't know if I should read these or you can look them up, but Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, verses 1 and 2, Psalm 66, verse 18, and Proverbs 28, 9, which I think I will turn to Proverbs 28, 9. These all talk about when we regard iniquity in our hearts. Doesn't matter how hard we're praying. God will not hear those prayers. If I can find Proverbs, sorry. Seems like sometimes the Bible is either too well used or not used enough. Trouble with the pages. So 28:9 says, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination." Think about that one. Maybe I will go to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59, not chapter 1. You like the book of Isaiah? It is a really cool book. I mean, it all is. You could say that about each one, I suppose. But Isaiah is just, so many good things to say and look forward to and see the common struggle, the common struggle. Isaiah 59. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities has separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." Important scriptures. I mean, we all have our favorite good ones. I think sometimes these ones that are kind of, what you might say, sort of downsided are probably as important, maybe more important, that we recognize them. Because, like I said, no matter how earnest you may be praying, you regard iniquity in your heart, he won't hear you. So I'm going to close up here soon. I can't help but feel like I need to read this one portion here because it was on my heart this morning and it's special to me, and I think it's kind of neat because as we hear and get close to the Lord, Psalm 17, verse 15, I was singing it with Henry there. "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." It's a beautiful thought, beautiful prayer. It should be our prayer. But as we turn and look at Revelation and the seven churches, there were something that I've been seeing, I've seen before, but it seemed to be more pertinent to me somehow this time around that I wanted to make a point of it. There's two things that are said over and over again for each church. And in the first three churches, "He that hath an ear" is said first, and then in the last four, that comes after the part of "he that overcometh." So let me just read through them. Oh, in Ephesus, the first church, It's kind of interesting. Ephesus being the first church that's in here, it's also about the first love. First. Jesus first. It's all about the first love. When you get saved, that's your first love. I would ask you, where are you today with that? Where am I today with that? So in verse 7 it says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And then, to him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now take each one of these in. These are blessings of each one of these in these churches. And like I said, there's a portion here that each one of these churches speaks to our heart today, each one of us. Smyrna, verse 11, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Then he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Another promise. Then we see in Pergamos, verse 17, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Then to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in that stone a new name written which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. It's possible to know your new name now. I'm not going to mention the name, but there was a pastor that knew his new name. He's gone home to be with the Lord now. My heart says, be interesting to know if that was it, you know. Because now he knows. Anyway, in Thyatira, starting in verse 26, here's where the overcometh part comes first. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Word talks about that he's going to be given that. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron as the vessels of a potter. Shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. There's another one of my favorite songs, Morning Star, along with Give God the Glory. Sardis, something I wanted to speak about this one. In verse 1 it says, and unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest, and art dead. It was interesting what Dan shared, but I had read something when I was going through this study, and it was about dead churches. And I didn't really include that, but I just thought I would make mention of it, because there are so many dead churches out there that aren't teaching the Word of God. They're misconstruing the Word of God. They're rewriting it, in a sense. There was a law or something just passed about that, something to that. Somebody was talking about it, and it was funny because Joyce and I just watched a movie. I think it was on PureFlix. And it's funny when something just flies right out of your head. But the idea that in this movie was that it was the underground church, in a sense. There was a group of people, and they had become responsible for getting the word, the actual word out, the actual Bible. And what they had to do was try to get one Bible to these different groups, these different towns, you know, because there was persecution coming down. There was one guy individually, and, you know, he's kind of like the Satan character, I suppose. They didn't ever say that, or he didn't look like that or anything, but he was just so negative and had to catch these people and had to put them down. And it was interesting, the twist that they put into it and how the movie ended, because they knew these people were after them and so forth, and scared some of the younger people out of it by taking them in and threatening them and so forth. But there was a certain group, and there was this one guy who they had to bring, wanted back in, whose wife was a main player. And I'm going to say supposedly got killed, because the idea was she got killed trying to get these Bibles and stuff. And so they made their plan to try to get them and stuff, and they were able to trick in certain ways. You didn't really know it till the very end. And it looked like people were getting caught. And there were three people that actually did die. And it's pretty certain that they died. But when the movie actually ended, it showed the guy meeting up with his wife and daughter who they thought had been killed. It just touched my heart, you know. And they were successful. And what they did was they had sowers and stuff, and they wore coats. They all had coats. And what you didn't get right away was they gave the coats to these people. And what they showed later was them cutting the lining out of the coat, and the Word of God was all embroidered inside the coat. It was so cool. I'm getting chills just about it. So anyways, hearers of the Word of God, you know, that desperate need for the Word, and there may be days that are coming, maybe in our lifetime, if the Lord should tarry, maybe not, but it's desperate enough that we need to cherish what God has given us. We need to really get into it, just like what I read there about read the Bible, hear what the Lord is speaking to your heart. Let him touch your heart. Let your heart surrender. Because the only way we're going to become doers is if we're surrendered to it. You know, you'll walk out that door today and the flesh and the spirit are going to battle, but who's going to win? Who's going to win today? Let's be overcomers. Father, we're so thankful, Lord. For you're the one that has overcome. We just need to trust you and take these steps of faith, Lord, that will cause us to be better hearers, that will cause us to be better doers, Lord. It's not in our strength, Lord. It's in your strength alone, for your glory alone, Lord. I pray for each and every one of these guys, Lord. I don't know if you've spoken to their heart. I pray that you have, Lord, that the Spirit has touched their heart in some way, spoken to them in areas that may be deep within that are hidden from anybody but themselves, Lord. Lord, deliver us out of our iniquities, Lord, that you would hear our prayers, Lord. Lord, that as we seek your face, Lord, we can look forward, Lord, to wearing those white robes of righteousness, Lord, one day with you. And God the Father, you see us as righteous now because of what your Son has done for each and every one of us, Lord. If we're saved, if we're born again, we're covered in the blood of the Lamb, and we're made clean and white as snow. We thank you for that, Lord. May we be able to hear and understand that, Lord, through our hearing, Lord. Understanding comes, Lord. Your wisdom from above, Lord, enlightens us, Lord, to make the right choices, Lord, to reach out at the right moment, Lord. All these things, Lord, by your hand, Lord, for your glory. Protect these guys, Lord. Bless their families, Lord. Bless their travels. Protect them in their walk, Lord, that they'd be the bright light, Lord, you desire them to be, Lord. We don't have to even know it, Lord. Touch people's lives and be glorified that we don't have to touch the glory, Lord, for you to be glorified. We don't want to touch it, Lord. We just want you to be honored and magnified in our hearts and the hearts of the lost, that they'll come to know you, Lord. So we just pray for that blessing, Lord. Today is a day of salvation. Many would get saved today. In Jesus' name, amen.